Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Saturday morning. There's always so much going on because we kind of clean up a lot of the mess from the week. There's new messes to clean up. There's new things to talk about. There's maybe a different outlook on things to talk about. I know where to start, and we will start with the 76ers. Obviously this morning, there's so many things to talk about the Sixers. The Phillies start camp, believe it or not, today's Saturday, so next, it's technically next week. Start camp next week with pitchers and catchers, and because there's a new manager, most of the players will probably be there. I'm heading down, actually heading down tomorrow. I'll be there all week, and next Saturday's show will come to you from the ballpark, actually, in Clearwater. And one of the things that I've talked to Joe Girardi, hopefully we get that taken care of and have Joe on with us next Saturday on the show. Then you've got the Eagles and all this, woe is me, and the world is coming to an end and doom and gloom because the Eagles didn't hire a coach that has the official title of offensive coordinator. And I'm going to talk about that too. It's just people have gotten a little carried away. It's just something to scry. I really think a lot of people just want something to whine about. I'm telling you, I got to get a cheese deal because I've got to get cheese for all the people that whine all the time. And they do whine and whine and whine and whine about a lot of things, but the coaches are one of the things they whine about. Oh, the offensive coordinator. They don't have an offensive coordinator. But you didn't like the offensive coordinator that you had before. All right, so we'll talk about that. And then Elton Brand spoke last night for the first time in a while. And I don't care about saying you got terrific players in the trade. They're better off, but they're not good enough. So we'll talk about that and his support and non-support of Brett Brown. And he did both basically in a span of less than 45 seconds. He supported him, then didn't support him. And then you can't get enough of Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal ripping the Sixers and ripping them with fervor and ripping them and what they said was honest and from their heart. It's just, we're going to go over all that. All right, let's start, as I said, let's start with the 76ers. Last night, they beat a terrible Memphis team. Oh, everything's good. Well, didn't they beat the Lakers? And the Lakers were in the perfect situation for them to win because the Lakers, and I explained this before that game, that the Sixers were the side. It was the third game in four nights, last game of their trip, and for a West Coast team, that's bad. They had what was going to be the Clippers coming up next, so everything fit in. Oh, the Sixers, they beat the Lakers. They killed the Lakers. Yeah, but guess what? What did they do right after the Lakers? They lost four straight on the road. I don't care if they're 95-0 at home. the way they play on the road, they're not going to be good enough because right now, their first series, the other team has the home court advantage. All that nonsense. Oh, yeah, we're 25 and 65 and whatever and oh, and great home record. And I don't care. There was a lot of things that, okay, they beat the Celtics. I think it was the first home game of the year. I don't think the Celtics showed up. But, okay, they still beat them. When they beat the Celtics again, I think the Celtics, matter of fact, I'm almost positive, Celtics played 3 games in 4 nights, and they got them here. That's a distinct scheduling advantage. It's not because the Celtics are much better than the Sixers. Then they beat the Nets when the Nets had a back-to-back game, another home game. And then they beat the Lakers when the Lakers were at a disadvantage because their schedule. And then they play teams, and they struggle sometimes with teams like they played last night in Memphis. I don't want to hear about the home record. I could care less about the home record. I really, and that's all, but you know, on Comcast after the game, oh, they're 20,001. I don't care. It's what is this team? Who is this team? And they've got two soft players. Embiid, all he does is whine. Well, I don't know what the, I said the other day at practice. I don't know what the game plan is. I don't know what the offense is. And then whine, he doesn't get the ball. He was 6 for 26. So he had the ball for 26 shots the other night. I don't care. And then it's just the whine. I'm not having enough fun. I need to have more fun. Really? Really? How about going out and winning a game, playing hard, and being in shape? And Elton Brand last night, another thing, and I asked him whether Joel is, and I think I asked Brett Brown too before the game, whether Joel's in shape, and they didn't give you that he's in shape. They gave you, they danced around and said, well, yeah, he works hard. You can tell he's not in shape. He's not in shape to play playoff minutes. And then he whined about, well, I'm not in the post because I get double teamed. Well, don't other good players get double teamed? And don't they find a way to get things done? If you're double teamed, then you kick the ball out. Now, that brings us to another problem. You kick the ball out to Benjamin. Benjamin does not have a J, so I took the J out of his name. You kick the ball out to Benjamin Simmons, and he won't shoot. And the reason he gets as many assists as he gets is because he won't shoot, so he probably passes the ball more than any other point guard in the NBA because he won't shoot unless he gets to the basket. When you get into a half-court game, which will happen against good teams and in the playoffs, you're not going to be able to get to the basket as easily. You're not going to be able to run the break as easily. So it's to put it in the words of somebody you may have heard, it's a joke, all right? It's a joke. And I don't want to, he played hard. And I don't want to hear Brett Brown talk about defense anymore. I don't want to hear it. Well, we're third. He said the other day they're fourth. Last night he said they're third, and I correct. Well, he said the other day you're fourth. First of all, that's bogus. That's bogus because of some of the early games and like big leads. You get a big lead on Memphis, so you're going to look better defensively against bad teams. And then when I asked him about Ben Simmons having on the road trip, 2 out of the last 3 games, he had the worst plus minus in the minus category. And he says, well, you got to put an asterisk next to that. Well, why don't you put an asterisk next to the fourth in the league? Do the Sixers look like the fourth best defensive team in the league? Really, do they look like that? I just, there's so much. And, you know, when I talk about Brett Brown, and I think he should be the coach the rest of the year and then make a decision. But it's not, people blame Brett Brown because it's the easiest thing to do is to blame the coach. Well, Joel Embiid really has to be blamed. Ben Simmons really has to be blamed. They're all in their own little world, partying and whining. And then Ben Simmons, all he does is post pictures of himself and Kendall Jenner. I could care less about Kendall Jenner. She does zero for me. Zero. She could walk into the studio with no clothes on and it wouldn't make any difference. Zero. All right? Zero. She's part of a family that just screws everybody up. All right? I don't care about Kendall Jenner. Ben, I don't want to see another picture of you and Kendall Jenner anywhere. All right? Anywhere. They're sitting by the pool, and then when I asked Brett Brown about the mental approach before the Miami game, and I mentioned one of your players was sitting by out by the pool in the afternoon. I didn't mention Kendall Jenner. Sitting by the pool in the afternoon, he says, well, he's probably reading the newspaper. What 25-year-old reads a newspaper anymore? Really? Really? What 25-year-old reads a newspaper? Are you kidding me? TMZ posted a picture. He had a drink in his hand. I don't know what was in it, but he had a drink in his hand. It looked like it was orange juice, but I wonder if it was just orange. But I don't know what was in it, so I'm not going to say that. But he wasn't reading the newspaper, all right? And shouldn't you? I'm not saying to hole up and to do, but in Miami, it's hot. And I don't know how much the sun can drain out of you. But obviously, whatever they did, whether it was partying in a suite at the Super Bowl, and who knows what happened after the Super Bowl? Who knows whether they were on South Beach? And then they don't have shoot-arounds anymore for the game. They do their whatever. They run through the plays earlier before the game. So there's no shoot-arounds. I don't even know what to tell you. It's just they had a terrible, terrible mental approach. And I don't care about the half. I don't care about a half. Oh, we played them tough for a half. Well, isn't the game 48 minutes? Isn't the game 48 minutes? So the contracts, Tobias Harris, they had to give. They made a trade. He's been with five teams. Tobias Harris is a good player. Not a special player. Not a guy that's going to carry. He's a good player. That's it. But he's not good enough. Give him basically a max contract. You got all these guys, and I think Tobias Harris will still work hard. I don't know that Benjamin Simmons and Joel Embiid will work hard all the time. I think Tobias Harris will, but he's just not good enough. He's not good enough. He's not a guy that can carry a team. When you need Korkmaz to be the guy that's your star in a game, that's not good enough. It gets tougher. It will get tougher. But they got the All-Star break coming up so they can have a good time and they can party. And, oh, boy, I'm so happy they're going to have a good time and they're going to party at the All-Star game. I'm going to give you, and you've probably heard it, give me the one, number one from Shaq, Kyle. I'm going to start with that and just get everybody teed up for the nonsense. And Shaq just kills them. Give me number one with Shaq.
He's not playing with force. He's looking for the foul. He has a little band-aid on his little hand. Oh, he wants the ref to call the foul. The ref don't call the foul, so he runs back on defense like a little baby, and then you let this guy score on you. I'm not being harsh.
That's pretty harsh.
No, listen to me. When you go 1 out of 10.
I'm just saying that's harsh.
When you go 1 for 10, it ain't your coach's fault. It ain't your teammate's fault. It's your fault, period.
You talking about who else would it be? The band-aid on your head. He's killing for one. And I'll have another comment from Shaq where he was in the suite with the players on Shaq's a great guy, and he's honest. And he was in the suite with those guys, and he basically, and we'll play that, his comment, the bite, that he told the guys they got to step it up. Yeah, they really did a good job, Shaq. The next game, they got beat by 31. They did a great job. And let me give you number one of Charles. Give me another taste. Charles was fooled by this team. He had dinner with the team before the season started. They all had dinner at Brett Brown's house. And he thought they were, because he got conned, he thought they were really good. I told him, Charles, they ain't good enough. You can't win with Ben Simmons as your point guard. But anyway, Charles the other night, too.
You know, I picked the Sixers to get to the finals. I think they are the softest, mentally weakest team that had a bunch of talent. They are the Cleveland Browns of the NBA.
Yes, they are. They are soft. They really are soft. Give me number two at Charles. You can't get enough of Charles. You got it? Oh, you're looking for it? You got it? Okay, go ahead.
The Philadelphia 76ers, my preseason pick to get to the finals, they just talk, Ernie. They are weak mentally and physically.
Yes, and they do just talk. I'm just trying to think. All right, I'll save some of the other Charles stuff. It's really classic, classic stuff. I'll give you Shaq. I told you Shaq talked to those guys, did a lot of good, Shaq. Number three, give me number three of Shaquille O'Neal. Go ahead.
I was actually at the Super Bowl with Ben and Joe, sitting right in between them. And I told him, I said, y'all got to get it together. So I don't want to hear no excuses about the coaches. I don't want to hear nothing about you two. I don't want to hear that. Y'all got to get it together. I said, look, all this stuff about you got to be best friends, it's been proven that you do not have to be best friends.
By whom?
Off the court.
Exactly.
But on the court, you got to show respect, and you got to play, and you got to play. I don't want to hear nothing for the rest of the season.
And they really, they're not best friends. And I think there's a jealousy that exists between them. But that's happened with, there's other teams that have problems with players' personalities meshing together. I get it. And Shaq's right. You don't have to be best friends. But you have to play hard. And you have to play the way you need to play to be good. It's a joke. Let me take a call. Let me see if I can get this here before we take care of some business here. Bill, you're on WIP.
Hey, Howard, how you doing?
I've never had a bad day in my life, Bill.
I heard that before. Listen, I'm out here in the Harrisburg area, and I really enjoy your show on Saturday mornings. And while I was waiting to get on, I was thinking, you know, the Sixers, they have a tough act to follow with the Eagles, right? I mean,
the Eagles didn't go very far last year. I mean, it's just... the Sixers.
Well, listen, but you know, we're used to a 5 months of men putting it out on the field with every ounce of what they got for the most part with the Eagles, and then it's followed up by the Sixers that remind me of like a ballerina troupe or something. Like we're watching a Nutcracker. All of a sudden, we went from hard-nosed football to this, right? And I'm thinking to myself over the years. Remember Sean Bradley?
Yes. How can
and
you
I'm thinking to myself, you know, here's Joel Embiid.
They took him instead of Penny Hardaway.
He's not transitioning to that great player. And I remember, and my question, the thing I really wanted to call and ask you about is Tom McGinnis, right? At where I live at, I don't get the game on TV or anything like that, so I get this little NBA deal. It's $10 a year.
Yeah, right. So you listen on radio. Okay.
Yeah, so I listen to Tom McGinnis. I absolutely love Tom McGinnis.
I do too.
Are you kidding me? Well, there was a play last week, I don't know who they were playing, where they were, Joel Embiid got caught up in a play. And Tom McGinnis just sat there and he says, Joel, he just gave up. He gave up on the play. He just stopped. Are you kidding me? He just stopped. And then he went on with the play. And I'm thinking to myself, all the years I've been listening to WIP.
Who did he criticize? Hey, Bill, who did he criticize?
Joel Embiid.
Oh, Embiid. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Joel Embiid. It was like I'm listening to the game. And he just says, I can't believe it. He just stopped. He stopped and gave up on the play. That's what I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. I'm thinking, what the hell? And then I'm thinking to myself, with you guys, well, the sports radio, does anybody, I don't think I've ever heard anybody interview Tom McGinnis. Like, you know, you interview Merle Reese and Mike Quick and Scott Fransky and everything else.
You're right. I don't know the reason.
Has anybody ever called Tom McGinnis up and say, hey, what do you think about the team?
Well, when he does...
He is such an advocate for that team. I love it.
Well, the thing is, when Tom does the games, he's very honest. And not all home play-by-play announcers do that. A lot of times, it's a softer criticism or a softer approach. And I get it. And I don't know why they haven't, but I don't know if he'd say the same thing in an interview, but there's no question when you watch his team, Joel Embiid's not in shape. And, you know, Elton Brand last night, well, he's out the gym every day. Yeah, he takes jump shots. And we don't see him running up and down the floor. We don't see him working out to get his cardio done. We don't see what he eats when he gets out of there. We don't see all that stuff. But anybody with half an ounce of a brain can see that he's not in shape. And he is a really good player, but I just don't get it. And I appreciate the call, Bill, and your frustration comes through. He's just not in shape. he can be a star, but he can't be a star not in shape. He got to stop whining. He's got to stop blaming somebody else. And he blamed the coach without blaming the coach when he says, I don't know what the game plan is. It's not Brett Brown's fault. The players are the ones that are responsible. And I'm going to, when we come back, I'm going to play Elton Brand, his confidence, his support, and in the same 30 or 45 seconds, his non-support of Brett Brown, and we'll get to that. And then, obviously, there's so many other things to talk about. And I'm going to get to these sons of scam, the Hinkieites, the Kool-Aid drinking dopes that want to take you away from blaming him, Hinkie. Because the reality is, Scam Hinkie, the Ponzi scheme master, created a losing attitude. And that's the biggest problem. It didn't work. It was never going to work. All right? It was never going to work. So you can't just pick and choose what he didn't. He got Embiid. Well, how good is that? He got Embiid. Okay, he was the third pick because two other teams didn't want Embiid for medical reasons, and they're starting to come through. But I'll get into all that. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. On your wireless device, which in the real world is called a cell phone, those on AT&T, which I have been on for many, many years, it is #9494, and those on Verizon, #9494. I'm Howard Eskin. WIP Sports Time is now 8:21 and IP. WIP. Working out of the studio here at WIP, I get to see an up-close look at the Schuylkill River. I've yet to see a body float by, but sometime during these 2 hours, I'm sure I'll see a body float by. Of course, knowing we're in Philadelphia, it's got to be a body in there somewhere. It's just got to take time to come up to this part of the city and float by our window here. All right. I'm going to wait to play Elton Brand, his support and non-support of Brett Brown in the same 45 seconds. But first, let's go to Alex. Alex, you're on WIP.
Hi. You know, in the off season, you know, you had Deshaun Jackson, you know, hanging around Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar all off season. No coincidence that those guys had their worst seasons of their career. And I told you before the off season.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. I mean, Deshaun Jackson got injured. It's got injured.
Okay, I understand. No, what I'm saying is, from a chemistry standpoint, I've always felt he's bad for a locker room. But besides that, I told you before the season, the two worst moves in Eagles history, number one was getting rid of Nick Foles. Number two was bringing back Deshaun Jackson, who for years they tried to get to a Super Bowl with, never got there.
Alex, can I address both those as we move on?
Sure.
Okay, you're a dope. All right, and here's why you're a dope. How can you pay a backup quarterback $25 million? By the way, Alex, what did Nick Foles, and I love Nick Foles, what did Nick Foles do this year?
He's not good without Doug Peters.
Didn't he get hurt? And then he got replaced. Wait a minute. He still had the same offensive coordinator or the quarterback coach. He was a quarterback coach here. John DeFilippo. Alex, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. It had nothing to do with Nick Foles. Yeah, to pay a backup, and that's Nick Foles earned his payday.
The Eagles are a better team with Foles.
You're going to tell me Nick Foles, you're back to this? You're going to tell me Nick Foles should have started over Carson Wentz? Are you that big a dope?
The Eagles are 12-2 in their last 14 games with Nick Foles, and 8 of those teams are teams with 12 or more wins.
Okay.
They are a significantly better team with Nick Foles.
Okay, I can't take this. But go ahead, Alex. You proved your idiocy.
This year, Donovan McNabb, before the season, said if Carson Wentz does not get out of the second round within the next 2 years, they should draft a new quarterback. So far this year, he started out 5-7 when the team is relatively healthy. He goes to the Lions, Falcons, and obviously the Dolphins.
You are a beauty. You're going to listen to Donovan McNabb? You're going to listen to Donovan McNabb? Are you? What? Donovan McNabb. All of a sudden, Donovan McNabb, a guy that people ripped for years, all of a sudden, like, he's the end-all, be-all. He is truth, justice, and what should happen to the Eagles. Really?
No. Look at the results. Look at the results. The Eagles are a much better team.
Okay, what wide receivers did the Eagles have in the last, let's say, I don't know, 5-6 games? What wide receivers did they have?
The same receivers that a 40-year-old Josh McCown had close to 100 passer rating in a playoff game with a torn hamstring. Carson Wentz.
Well, he didn't have 100 passer rating in that game.
A 96 passer rating.
Okay, well, that's not 100.
The same injured receivers.
Okay.
Carson Wentz played.
You are.
A terrible
you're unbelievable. I asked you what the receivers are. Can you name the receivers?
Same guys that McCown.
No, Alex. Unless you name the receivers, I'm moving on. Who are the receivers?
He went 5-7 with the same receivers.
Who are the damn receivers?
Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert.
Whoa. He's not a wide receiver. Go ahead. Give me the wide receivers.
He went 5-7.
Give me the wide receivers. It's the last time I'm asking.
The same receivers that played.
Okay, bingo. You're done. can't even name them. I have trouble remembering them, too. They went to the grocery store. They went to the Wawa. They picked up one at the grocery store, one at the Wawa, and then they had Greg Ward on the practice squad. Are you kidding me? Guys, it was one of the... I can't even remember the guy's name that had one catch in his NFL career, and he was one of the top three wide receivers on the team.
Robert Davis?
Robert Davis? I don't know if they got him at the Wawa, the grocery store. Who was the other guy?
Deontay Burnett?
Yeah, Burnett. Yeah, the guy with the French name. But Burnett. Are you kidding me? So you're going to blame Carson Wentz when he had receivers where I think I would probably only lose to him by a tenth of a second in a race. Now, I'm exaggerating, obviously. They had no speed. I give them credit because they went out there and they did the best they could. But please. We're back to the Nick Foles. Oh, boy. Beautiful. Philadelphia is such a beautiful place. It's just crazy. Bob, you're on WIP.
Well, that's a really interesting after flowers. So hopefully,
boy, how about that? He's back to Nick.
I don't have to make much of an effort.
No.
He's an idiot. I'm sorry.
He's a dope. He was a dope and an idiot and a moron.
Exactly. I got 2 points. First, about that so-called team, Sixerstad is a big. That's a bigger joke. I just laugh at it. I'm not going to waste my time. I got better time, you know, watching paint dry. They're going nowhere. Nowhere.
They might lose in the first round. They could be one and done. If they don't if they don't get into the fourth spot in the conference, then they don't have home court. They could be one and done. They probably will be one and done.
And I just think Brett Brown's a real nice guy, but
great guy.
He's not tough enough. Somebody, I'm not saying get this guy, but in the ilk of like a John Chaney or like a Knight, a guy that's going to get in their face and bench him. And right, you may sacrifice games, but you got to be disciplined with these guys. They don't understand anything more. They take full advantage of it. Here's my question, though.
Now, and just to comment on your point, I agree, and I've said this. I would bench a guy. Now, you might lose that game. They're getting their money. They get their notoriety. Yeah. The only way to get through to them is to embarrass them by putting them on the bench. And I totally agree with that when they're not playing well. You sit on the bench.
But Howard, we might hurt their feelings. That's going to be horrible.
And that's Brett Brown's biggest problem is there's no discipline. There's no discipline. There's no discipline. And that's
can I ask you one thing? Is there on these trips, like the Super Bowl in that game, and I knew, man, I wish I put money on that. That was the easiest money to win. I wish it.
Wait a minute. I told people on Saturday morning that Miami was the side. They don't have discipline. They don't have the proper respect for the game and the team to make sure that they were prepared for that game.
Why couldn't they have done this to keep them away from the parties and everything like this by doing this? Going down the day after the Super Bowl, And also, if they are going to go down, you have a curfew. No girlfriends allowed. This is a business trip.
Okay, let me
his girlfriend.
Let me address that.
Why won't they do that?
Okay, because in the NBA, the Players Association gets involved. Here's number one: you can't go down
a
day.
Your girlfriend with you?
What you can't go? Well, she didn't come on the plane, but you can't go down the day of a game. So the day after the Super Bowl. So you're not. The NBA doesn't allow you. You have to get in the night before. Okay, fine. And going to the game is fine. I don't know how many guys went to South Beach. And you know that they weren't mentally prepared, especially in Miami. They weren't mentally prepared. The NBA does not, football has a curfew. The NBA does not, that's the Players Association would kick and scream, and they wouldn't allow it. Now, in football, the girlfriends don't come to a game. Let's put it this way. I can't say on an Eagles, with the Eagles, I can't say other than the playoffs where they might bring, and one game a year where they bring their families. But I don't, the way I understand it, I don't know for sure, they don't stay in the same room with them. They still have to, there's still two to a room in football, and it's two, you know, it's two teammates. So they don't stay with them in the room. And I have rarely, other than when there's one weekend a year, I think, where the wives and girlfriends come down. Yeah. But there is a curfew, and the NBA can't have that. The NBA is just, it's a players' league. They do whatever the hell they want. Other than a few coaches, they don't have the, they really don't have the strength of control to have a curfew. And the Eagles always have a curfew. Football teams, not just the Eagles. The NFL teams have a curfew the night before a game.
Howard, real quick, I want to talk Eagles. My head is saying about the draft that they got to get a corner first before a receiver. My heart's saying receiver because, man, it would be a shame not to give Carson that elite weapon because there's some guys out there that could really be impact wide receivers. There's five guys out there. I don't think we're going to get that guy, Judy. I think he's the top guy. But I think, you know, I'm kind of torn. I think they probably need to get a corner. But it's really, it's not a deep draft in corners of what I'm told.
Yeah, no, it is. No, it is. It is. Defensive backs and wide.
Okay.
Defensive backs.
But I know the fans are going to start screaming for receivers. Get that.
Well, here's
everybody wants to get Carson Wentz.
Bob, let me tell you what I think they're going to do. They're going to sign a free agent wide receiver, and they're going to draft at least one wide receiver. They've got to draft a corner because Ronald Darby, I would be shocked if Ronald Darby's back. I think Jalen Mills should be back, but I would be shocked if Ronald Darby would be back. So they got to get a corner. They got to get a corner, and they got to get a wide receiver.
No more possession receivers. I want speed.
Well, that's the draft, and you are correct, and the draft is loaded with speed wide receivers. Loaded. Calvin, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's up, Howard?
You tell me, Calvin.
First time caller, long time listener, man.
Nice to have you on.
Thanks, man. You know, I don't watch the news. I can't stand listening to it, but I listen to you, man, because you tell the truth, good or bad. You know, I don't care what they say about you. At least you're honest with what you're saying, man. You back it up. But I had to thank you, man. You should, the hell with Mark Lawrence. You helped me pay my mortgage last month and this month with that Sixers information, man. And when I saw Ben Simmons chumming it up with his girlfriend, I doubled down on that Miami bet. I don't know what that other guy was thinking about.
Well, you know, this is how stupid Ben Simmons is. And he's not stupid in terms of his intellect. He's stupid in this social media. Posting pictures of himself is sickening. It's sickening because, and I know it's the world nowadays, and I don't want to hear old man screaming on the lawn. I don't want to hear all that stuff because
I am the old man on the lawn.
Well, there's a lot of people, but how many people were happy seeing him with Kendall Jenner at the pool on the afternoon of what is a big game? You needed, with the way you've played on that road trip, they lost by 73 points in four road games. 73 points. And you got him sitting at the pool with Kendall Jenner. Like, come on. And he I know TMZ posted a picture, but Ben posted his own picture. It's a joke. It is a joke.
It is,
and to sit out, you're sitting out, you can't tell me that's sitting out at the pool the afternoon of a game in Miami. It's not like it's hot, it's humid, all those things. You can't tell me that it could, and in some cases, hurts performance. And he got lit up. He got lit up by Jimmy Butler.
Listen, I've sat out there in Miami, and I don't play ball, and I can't do stuff that I wanted to do.
You're not playing ball, but the thing is, he was minus 31 that game, minus 30. He got lit up. He was like a lampstand, like a statue to Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler lit his ass up so badly. I'd rather have Jimmy Butler than Benjamin Simmons. Trust me.
Well, now you know why Jimmy Butler wanted to get out of here. I know why Jimmy Butler wanted to get out of here. He saw that circus and said, I got to get out of the way.
Yeah, but you wanted to blame the coach, though, too, didn't you?
Well, the problem is I heard some interesting commentary on your station that made a lot of sense to me. You can't have the guy.
Did? On WIP? You heard people on WIP that made sense?
Well, I mean, I listened to the station, but this made sense to me. You can't have the guy that helped you tank the team be the same guy that helped you win, because the culture and the respect is not there. The guy, Brett Brown would be a very good assistant coach. He coaches the team like he's an assistant coach.
And I appreciate the call, Calvin. He should be the coach the rest of the year. But there wasn't a vote of confidence in that regard from Elton Brand last night, and I'll play that for you shortly. But, you know, when I'll criticize Brett Brown for the things he says on the last update. Joel is at his best. Well, yeah, sure, when he's at his best, but how many times is he at his best? That's a mental approach to the game. Now, the culture, the losing culture was created by that moron, that Ponzi-schemed scam hinky, and all these dopes out there that are still drinking the Kool-Aid. Don't blame Sam Hinkie. Oh, really? You've created a losing culture, 4 years of a losing culture, and the players that were part of that are here, some of those players. Some of the deals weren't good deals. I understand that. But you have now 7 years and two playoff series wins. 7 years. Hinkie was a total fraud. And people that still believe what he says, and my son's one of them, and when he talks about Hinkie, he sounds like a dope. So I didn't know that I raised a dope. But when he defends Hinkie, well, Hinkie hasn't been here, but he set up, it was a losing culture, and that is a problem. What did he get in the draft by losing? He got Nerlens Noel, he got Michael Carter-Williams, stiff, instead of Giannis, too, instead of Michael Carter-Williams, instead of Giannis. Okay, he got Jahlil Okafor. Boy, was he a terrific player. Stone, cold, stiff. All right, so he got Embiid, who plays probably 60 or 70% of the time. What did he get? And Ben Simmons has got to be his, but he didn't make that decision. As it turns out, Brandon Ingram's a better player. But that being aside, I'm going to play Elton Brand for you when we come back. Let's take care of some things here. WIP Sports Time is now 8:42. WIP. WIP. All right, I got to... I don't have to, but I am. Elton Brand spoke last night. I like Elton. He's made some good decisions and he's made some poor decisions, but the signing of Tobias Harris, he got stuck because Jimmy Butler didn't want to stay here. So you can't lose both of them that you traded for. Jimmy Butler is made, Miami is a really good team. And then they're doubling down with some of the trades. They are a really good team. And Jimmy Butler is a major part of that. So I'll give Elton Brand some props. Some of them not so good. But I asked him last night about, you know, all the talk about Brett Brown and possibly not being the coach. And I didn't use the word fired. But anyway, here was Elton's comment where he kind of says one thing, and then he won't really say that he's in full support. Go ahead, let's hear Elton Brand.
Brett Brown's our coach. I believe in him to lead this team. You know, that's what I'm standing by, and I truly believe that. Like, he's the leader of this team, and it was more if that. decision. It wouldn't be an ownership thing is what I was trying to say. That has changed to me.
And he's the coach for the rest of the year.
That decision, I'm not going to play what ifs. Like, he's our coach, and I'm supporting Brett Brown. He's our leader.
Well, wait. All you have to say is, yeah, he's our coach for the rest of the year. Matt Klentak said that with Gabe Kapler, and people criticized for him, and then he fired him at the end of it. Well, he didn't fire him. John Middleton fired him. Klentak wanted to keep him, but that's another story for another day. It's just, you got to go all in. Elton, if you said he's our coach, you got to go all in. That's a bad comment. I'm not going to play what ifs. Well, but that's what sports is. It's what if. When you say he's our coach, you got to say he's our coach for the rest of the year, because the players know he can get fired. And unless you put your foot down and say, he's our coach for the rest of the year, as we do every year, we evaluate everything at the end of the year. That's what should be said. He's our coach for the rest of the year. And he didn't say that. So he bailed. Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal are beautiful. So do me a favor. Number four from Charles the other night, you know, Charles made fun of bad on the road. They're just not as strong, as he said, mentally and physical team. They're soft. He said they're soft, but he also said this. All right, let's play this from Barkley.
I just don't understand. Like, we've given these young guys so much in the NBA. When you give a guy $160 million, I be saying like, they must think I'm great. I must be really, really good. I don't have to work on my game. They gave Ben Simmons $170 million. And for the last two summers, they've been like, oh, Ben's been working on his jump shot. I haven't seen that.
No, he does it in pregame, and then he's scared to death to do it in the game. By the way, the coach told him it was in December. It's like 8 weeks ago. I want you to shoot 1 3 a game. I don't care if you make it. He's taken one from half court. That is it. Let's go at number five from Charles, too, talking about Embiid. You have it there? Kyle, go ahead.
But I thought he had positively responded.
Yeah, for a week, Allen. Reggie said it.
Yeah, to your
Reggie said
your
it.
Pep talk and your...
For 1 week. But you do know they play more than a week.
Yes, they do. Let's go with six with Barker. Let's run them all out here. Go ahead. Charles is honest. I love him about that. Go ahead.
My concern is through the roof because, number one, they don't know how to play basketball. What I mean by that is they're like, well, you see the guy, some, well, I don't know. We don't have an offensive identity. And then Al Horford, who I like, says, well, we got a lot of stuff going on in the locker room. Well, shut the hell up and keep it in the locker room. Why would you come out and say we got a bunch of stuff going on in the locker room? Well, if it's in the locker room, keep it there.
Charles. All right, Shaq. Also, after Shaq said he talked to him Sunday, he was in the suite with him at the Super Bowl. Yeah, really did a lot of good, Shaq. They lost by 31 the next game. That probably pissed Shaq off, too. Let's go with number five for Shaq. Just let me know when you have it. All right, let's go with it.
If you're lollygagging up in the court and you're not rotating, the others ain't going to play hard. So Ben and Embiid, they just got to play. I don't care if they don't like each other. You got to play when it comes on the court. Ben, you should be giving me 18, 20 a game. And Embiid, you're good enough to go, you know, get the old Shaq 28, 10 a game.
Oh, yeah? Only when he feels right. And when the offense, he knows the game plan. It's a joke. They always have, you know, and what Ben said after the Miami game, we played soft. Hey, bro, you were minus 31 in that game. Jimmy Butler lit your ass up like a torch. We were soft. Great. Thank you. Jeff, you're on WIP.
What's going on, Howard? Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, you write a lot of things over the years, you know, and I'm, you know, willing to admit that as far as, you know, just everything. The disrespect that you go through with people that you don't understand. But that's another thing. We're here to talk about sports.
Yeah, I don't know what you're getting to, but go ahead.
All right. Ben Simmons, again, okay, congratulations on beating the Memphis Grizzlies, right? But when you play the Milwaukee Bucks, who are the best team in the league, 11 points is unacceptable, in my opinion, from your point guard.
still won't take that jump shot, still won't free up the other players to be able to create the way a point guard is supposed to be able to do. And there's not enough being held on Ben Simmons. Of course,
Jeff, can I tell you why he only scored 11 points? Other than the fact he's not good enough as a point guard. The way Milwaukee plays, and they acknowledge this because you look at the numbers, they don't really guard the three. Their approach to a game is they want to close down the lane, shut off the basket, and play that way. And they're really, defensively, they're very good overall. Against the three, they're very bad. So the way, and that was, it's perfect against the Sixers. You know, remember the game they won here on Christmas Day? Milwaukee just wasn't ready. And the Sixers, I don't know with this team, they'll ever have 21 three-point shots made. And that's what they had in that game. But with the way they play the game, Ben Simmons is irrelevant because he's not going to get to the basket as much because that's the way they play. And that's the only way he can score. And that
he can't stroke a jump shot in open space.
Well, it can't, and he won't, and he won't, and he won't. So, but go ahead. I'm sorry, I just wanted to explain that to you.
We're void of that weapon with our basketball team because of this guy.
Correct.
And we're keeping him on the team, and I don't get it.
Well, I've already suggested twice, and people kind of were all over me, that I would have traded him for Kawhi Leonard if they could have got that done. So Toronto wouldn't have won the championship, and the Sixers may have. That's number one. Number two, when he was still here, I suggested signing Kemba Walker and getting rid of Ben Simmons. And obviously that didn't happen either. So what can I tell
you? Just anybody who's a pure point guard that can do the things that you need to do at the position. You know, and can I move on to baseball
sure,
quickly?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, man, before they do anything, the starting rotation has to be shored up. Boston has already started. What are the Phillies doing to shore up this pitching rotation? Aaron Nola starting, you know, as your ace.
Here's the problem.
Then where are we?
I'll give you the answer. Joe Girardi, who I think was just trying to play the good guy, said at a news conference, I think when he was first introduced, he doesn't need a left-hander in the rotation, in the starting rotation. He needs guys to get people out. Well, then why do you match up? Then why do you match up when you come out of the bullpen, lefty against lefty or righty against righty? Why do you match that up? You know, your closer is your closer. It doesn't matter. But there are matchups. They need a left-handed starter, and there's no question about that. But what I think they're going to do, because they're not going to go out, and we know they're not going to sign any more big players, and there's none left that I know of. Maybe they'll make a trade, but I don't know that they have that much to trade because their minor league system is not that good. That's the biggest problem. You need to supplement your team so you don't have to spend all that money on free agents with a minor league system. It's easy to go out and sign players. Matt Klentak, when John Middleton said, well, look how much better we are over the last 4 years. Yeah, you spent $500 million. Your farm system, you had nobody from your farm system that was drafted or developed to be on this team other than Haseley, and he's probably a part-time center fielder, and Cole Irvin was the only other guy that made this team. The rest of them, Mickey Moniak is a first-round pick. There was another player who was a first-round pick. Stiffs. So that's the biggest problem, but they've got to get, I think they're going to wait until spring training starts. They'll try to either trade for a pitcher or try to find another. All they're doing is signing guys to minor league contracts and hoping that they're going to do something. That's the problem. But that's the problem. And the problem is, if they make the playoffs, Matt Klentak stays. If they miss the playoffs, then Matt Klentak will probably go. 94. WIP 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. And on your cell phones on AT&T, it's #9494. I know many of you out there are like me and have that service. And #9494 on Verizon. When we come back, I'm going to talk about people just don't understand. They get conned too easily by sports networks. And there was a con job that went on yesterday that I'm going to explain when I come back. And I'll talk about the Eagles coaches again, and we'll continue with the Sixers. WIP Sports Time, 850.
Or WIP.
Let's get 94 WIP on a fine Saturday morning. A little chilly, but the sun's out. It's that's a big part of it with all the rain we've had. But all right, into the second hour, just setting up. Obviously, a lot of discussion about the Sixers, Embiid, Simmons. I don't care what happened last night. They're a team that's doomed for a first-round knockout if they don't get the home court advantage. And that would be crazy. We played a lot of the comments from Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal burying this team. Eagles coaches touched on that. People worry too much about the offensive coordinator. There were three teams last year. I didn't mention this the first year. There were three teams last year that didn't have coaches with the title of offensive coordinator. It was San Francisco, the Rams, and Arizona, because their head coaches were offensive guys. You just need them, and Press Taylor will have more responsibility. Press Taylor obviously has done a good job. The quarterback's on board with him, and that's really important for the quarterback. There'll be coaches that do it, and you get a lot of the coaches that help devise a game plan. And during the game, Doug Peterson is calling the plays anyway. People just get so carried away. Oh, they don't have an offensive coordinator. It doesn't make a difference, especially with the way people complained. And if you get somebody from the outside, which I think they wanted, matter of fact, I'm almost positive they wanted Mike Kafka, who really helped Patrick Mahomes. But Andy Reid didn't want to let him go because I know he knows he's probably going to lose his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, next year as a head coach. And Kafka's done a really good job there and is most likely to be the offensive coordinator. So when you don't get the guy you want, regardless of who you interviewed or you wanted, then what good? You hire a guy just to hire a guy just to appease people on WIP and appease the fans? No, that's not what you do. And I'm okay with that. It's just, and if they don't have good offense, it's not going to be because of the coach. They need wide receivers. They need players. And they need guys to stay healthy and who's going to play left tackle. They got to make sure that that's all. It's going to be Dillard if they don't sign Peters. I don't know what they're going to do there. That's what they need. Offensive coordinator. Coaches are only as good, really, as your players. Philly starts spring training for pitchers and catchers next week. I'll be down there. And probably most of the players will be in camp working out, although they don't officially have to be there. But with a new manager, it's good that they come in. And Elton Brand gave Brett Brown a vote of confidence, and then 15 seconds later didn't give him a vote of confidence when I asked him, Brett Brown is our coach. And I said, for the rest of the year, I'm not going to get into what ifs. Well, what if you just say he's the coach for the rest of the year? How about that what if? Come on, Elton, smarter than that. That was a bad comment. That was a bad comment because you took away the vote of confidence when there was a follow-up question, and that's what you got to do. You got to follow those things up. Just because they won the game last night doesn't mean they're good enough. And another thing that I wanted to address, and I put it out there, I think most people who watch Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN agree Monday Night Football is one of the worst broadcasts in the history of national broadcasts. It's terrible. Booger, McFarlane, and whoever else, it's a joke. It's horrible. So that's bad. Sunday Night Baseball is terrible. Terrible. Jessica Mendoza, who made an ass, a complete moron out of herself, when she was disappointed in, was it Mike Fiers? Was that the guy, the pitcher's name? Mike Fiers. Outing the Astros. Well, he got lit up when he went to Houston. He gave up to 12 batters. He gave up 9 earned runs and 5 home runs because they were stealing the signs and they were cheating in doing it. So she made, and then she had to circle back and say, well, you know, I didn't mean it quite that way. You worked for the Mets. She's resigned from that. That's fine. But ESPN, this is the cute things that PR departments do. And this is what they do. They're the masters. They try to be the masters of cover-up. Jessica Mendoza, they have this release that comes out yesterday, who, by the way, is awful. And A-Roid is awful, too. They got to get A-Roid off the Sunday night broadcast, too. He says nothing. He's a fraud. He was a cheater for how many years? She didn't say anything about him. She didn't comment on him cheating baseball for at least 10 years with his steroids. So A-Roid's got to come off, too. So they put out a release that she got a new contract with ESPN. at the bottom of the release, at the very last paragraph, she is moving from Sunday Night Baseball to a broadcast during the week. Now, obviously, the broadcast during the week just blend in because there's no other baseball game on Sunday night on TV because that's the way it's set up. It's only Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. So it's got to be probably twice the audience. So they took her off that, put her on, you know, they can't fire her. I mean, they can't fire her for, I mean, obvious reasons. They can't fire her. So they're going to give her a bunch of other things to do, and they go on and talk on the talk shows they have and do other things. I get it. I get all that. But they basically demoted her. Not basically. They demoted her. They took her off Sunday Night Baseball. They obviously forced her to resign from the Mets, which she did. But they took her off Sunday Night Baseball. And in the last paragraph, she's moving from Sunday Night Baseball to an ESPN broadcaster in the week. Well, they demoted her. It was clearly a demotion. And when I criticized her yesterday on Twitter, these people said, oh, they gave her a new contract. Yeah, they demoted her. They demoted her. Are you too stupid to understand what PR people are beauties? They try to make you look stupid by covering up the obvious and deferring the impression of they took her off. They demoted her. They put her on during the week to get her off Sunday Night Baseball. That's what they did. And they bury it at the end of the release. And people don't get it. People say, oh, yeah, there was comments. Well, she got a contract from ESPN, a new contract. Yeah, she got a new contract to cover up the obvious. The obvious is she's done on Sunday Night Baseball. And that's a good thing. I don't know if it'll improve the broadcast with A-Roid still on there, but that's what they did. Anybody that didn't understand that is just flat out stupid. I mean, and that's what PR people try to do. They try to make you look stupid because good PR people are the masters of the cover-up. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, good morning, Howard. I have to say, you know, Howard, you made this comment back when the Sixers beat Milwaukee on Christmas Day. Embiid's, that ridiculous comment that Embiid made still is stuck in my craw, Howard. About him saying he'll be there when if they need him. That still bothers me. And that's it's not going to get better for this team because Kevin Durant's coming back next year. The East, and if they had to play anybody out in the West, they would get destroyed, Howard. They would get destroyed.
Yeah, but they're not going to get that far, so it doesn't make any difference.
Everything's great because you beat Memphis. Are you kidding me? This team's they're going in a tailspin, and I think it's unfair to dump on the coach. I still remember that comment Brett Brown made, Howard, that he's not going to coach these gypsies. Remember those players?
Well, yeah.
Oh man.
Well, yeah, but that's what Scam Hinkie created. He created a losing culture and an attitude, and I'm telling you, the city had a shortage of Kool-Aid from all these dopes that kept on drinking it. The Hinkie Kool-Aid. It was a joke. It was a complete joke.
And Charles and Shaq are right on, 100% correct.
Absolutely.
They're soft. And yeah. and Charles made a great comment that I think it resonates, Howard.
What's that?
They can talk the talk, and that's all they can do. And they want to be the celebrities, and that's all they want to be.
Well, yeah, they want to be celebrities. If they had a choice, here, let me just break this down, and I'll start from ownership. If Josh Harris had the choice of making a lot of money or winning a championship, he would want both. But first, he would want to make a lot of money. And that's what the ownership is
about. Absolutely.
It's about making a lot of money. And if Embiid and Simmons had the choice of being celebrities, now they'll never tell you this publicly, of being celebrities or winning a championship and being great players, they would take the celebrity status. That's what they try to do. They try to be celebrities. All the city wants is play hard, play great basketball. Simmons has got to shoot a jump shot. He shoots like 30-some percent between low 30s, between 3 and 10 feet. That's a joke. That is a joke.
Yeah, he's not a point guard. And Larry Brown said it too, Howard. He's not a point guard. When is someone going to move this guy to the position he's supposed to be? He's not a point guard. You put him at the 4, and you get somebody in here as a true point guard.
They don't listen to the coach. Brett Brown, you know? I mean... I know Brett Brown wants Embiid in the low post, and he said the other day, well, the reason he's not in the low post is he gets double teamed. Well, that's because the point guard doesn't shoot. That contributes to it. And when you ask Simmons to shoot 1 3 a game, and he doesn't shoot any for 8 weeks, come on. It's just you ask
the guy. He also drives in, kicks the ball. I mean, in that play where he comes against, he can post up guys that are like half his size, and he just rather just kick the ball.
Well,
out.
He doesn't. The other problem is he doesn't want to get fouled because he doesn't want to go to the foul line because he's not comfortable doing that either. There's a lot of issues with the Sixers, and just because they won last night, and they should beat Chicago. They play Chicago at home tomorrow. The Clippers, they get the Clippers in an interesting point too. It's obviously the last game. I don't know where they play this weekend. I can check it, but it's obviously the last game of a road trip because the All-Star break comes up after that. So if it's the last game, they get a break. That it's the last game of their road trip, which is not good, and they're heading to the All-Star game. So their minds really, those players are just want to get back home because they have a few days off, the guys that aren't in the All-Star game. And the players that are going to the All-Star game are already going to the All-Star game. So the Clippers play tonight in Minnesota. They play tomorrow in Cleveland. And then they come to the Sixers on Tuesday. So they get them, they get another team. How about that? They get another team, the third game in 4 nights, the last game of their road trip when they play the Sixers. How about that? They get another break. The schedule makers set all this up for the Sixers. That's unbelievable. You got a West Coast team playing on the East Coast right before the All-Star break. I don't know that that's really fair. I don't know. You know, you can get other teams to play on the road, but not a West Coast team. Oh, they got a break on Tuesday when they play the Clippers. That should be the Sixers game. Third game in 4 nights for the Clippers. Third game in 4 nights. The end of a road trip for a West Coast team, and then they go to the All-Star game afterwards. Oh, my gosh. Sixers have to win that game on Tuesday night. Again, it's set up for them. It's set up for them. So, and they'll pound their chest how great they were by winning and beating the Clippers. Oh, great. That's great. All right. Well, yeah, they should beat them. 94 WIP. Let me go back to the phones, and let's go to Rich. Rich, you're on WIP.
Good morning, King.
How are you?
Hey, Howard, I got some Phillies talk here and just a quick Flyers point at the end, okay?
Sure.
So Phillies, Joe Girardi, love the move. But, I mean, right now, Howard, they're a third-place team, the best, you know? And the
I don't even think they're, problems. Wait a minute, they're third place ahead of the Mets?
Well,
so it'd be Atlanta or Washington, Washington or Atlanta.
Right.
And then you put the Phillies there. I'm not so sure they're better than the Mets.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's... You're going to have to fight out for third place. But, I mean, that's crazy.
Yes, yeah.
There's two big problems. Number one, Middleton cut the money off. No more money spent. Number the bigger problem, they have no farm system. They got one player. Boom. So you're going to give up your one farm prospect. I know Andy McPhail gave us all our numbers. I mean, you actually set them straight. And then what happens then? You have you can't build your own players. And then when these guys get older, we're going to have the Ryan Sandberg years all over again. There's no farm system.
Well, and that's the thing is they've got a new guy that oversees the farm system, which Johnny Alvarez was a joke too, but that was a Matt Klentak guy. It's so like don't they look at players? Don't they look at them and say, well, this guy can play? No, they look at a computer. Their farm system is a joke. And it's going to take at least a couple of years to fix that. And you just can't keep on signing free agents to make that work. I don't think they can make a significant trade because, okay, they have Bohm, and I know they want to keep Bohm. Reese Hoskins has to have a good year. Otherwise, they're probably going to trade him and put Bohm at first base because he's really not a third baseman. He's not good enough defensively at third, but everybody believes he can hit. Well, we'll see. They really only have two players. They have Spencer Howard and Bohm, and that's it. You're not going to trade either one of them. The Chris Bryant thing is, I think, is
and their pitching staff. Right, we got Noah, we got Wheeler, good move. But after that, we got Eflin, Arrieta, Velasquez. I mean, we're going to run these guys here again. Unless Joe Girardi could pitch,
and they didn't improve.
No way they're going to finish.
They didn't improve their bullpen. And that was another thing. And I understand what John Middleton's doing. Why are you going to spend money now? Because you're gonna have to sign Realmuto, so that's gonna cost you a lot of money. So, and there's probably there's somebody else that if they keep Hoskins, eventually they're gonna have to sign him. But if you can't if you don't have a decent chance to get deep in the playoffs, and right now, even if you add another player and pay a lot of money, I don't know that you have a decent chance to get to the playoffs, get deep in the playoffs. You can get to the playoffs, and that's what he's looking at. Why spend money if it's not going to make any difference? Save it when your farm system's better and you're a little closer, those kind of things. So,
exactly, you're right. Quick Flyers comment here, Howard. The Flyers are better this year. I think the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. Most importantly, the coach, Elaine Bean, way better than the coach last year. And Kevin Hayes.
The coach last year was a joke. That was a joke.
Oh, he was.
Yeah.
If Hextall would have fired him, Hextall would still be here now.
Possibly. Yeah, it's just the Flyers are a better team. Are they a playoff team? Possibly. Can they go deep in the playoffs? No, they're not quite there yet, but they are better. There's no question they are better. 94 WIP, 888-729-9494. On your cell phones, on your cell phone that has the AT&T service, which I know a lot of you have. It's #9494. And on Verizon, #9494. I don't know if that last night's win changes your opinion about the Sixers. Tell me if it does. It can't just wash away four straight losses by a total of 73 points on the road. You can't just wash that away. Actually, I'd like to hear a comment. Jessica Mendoza demoted and taken off Sunday Night Baseball. Not that she's a focus, but your thoughts on the ESPN national broadcast, both Sunday Night Baseball and Monday Night Football, both terrible, terrible, terrible. Eagles coaches, I think people are starting to get over the fact that they made some changes. You know, when they make changes in the medical staff, we don't know. We can complain and we don't know. I don't know. It's just, are they better? Are they worse? Whatever. I mean, people have to be qualified if they hire him, and it's the business of sports is very difficult. I understand that new director of sports medicine whatever the title they gave that person. I understand he's very good. So I'm talking to people from around the league. But again, does that make any difference to us? They want to see the team win, and they want to see players who can create separation at the wide receiver spot, and they want to see the team make plays. I mean, that's what it comes down to. 94, and we'll talk about that when we come back. I'd like to hear your opinions as well. 94, and the Phillies start spring training next week with pitchers and catchers. Are they good enough? I'll give you an answer now, but I'll listen to yours. No. They're good, but not good enough. WIP Sports Time is now 9:21. WIP. You know, another thing I haven't talked about because I didn't even realize it started tonight. I don't know if anybody even really, or started today. I don't know if anybody really cares. I wonder if there's lines on the XFL, which is, again, that's a joke. It's a league that's, I can't see how it's going to last. I wonder if there's any lines on the, there are probably lines somewhere on the XFL. I don't see them anywhere. How can you put lines out on these games? Oh, here it is. Maybe. Is there lines on the games? I don't know if there's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.